In ayah number 40 of Surat Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Indeed those who deny our verses and are arrogant toward them, the gates of heaven will not be opened for them, nor will they enter paradise until a camel enters into the eye of a needle, meaning never, and thus do we recompense the criminals. They will have from hell a bed and over them coverings of fire, and thus do we recompense the wrongdoers. May Allah save us from that. Ameen. But those who believed and did righteous deeds, we charge no soul except within its capacity. Those are the companions of paradise. They will abide therein eternally." Meaning, it is possible for us to do this, inshallah ta'ala. Islam and the injunctions of Islam are within the capacity of every human being. "And we will have removed whatever is within their breasts of resentment," meaning if people have any ill will or sense of injury for what was inflicted upon them during this worldly life, from each other, from other human beings, Allah says that He will remove it. Allah says, "While flowing beneath them are rivers," and they will say, "Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahilladhi hadana lihada, وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِي لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ." Praise to Allah, who has guided us to this, and we would never have been guided if Allah had not guided us. Certainly, the messengers of our Lord had come with the truth, and they will be called, "This is paradise which you have been made to enter, inherit for what you used to do." Been made to inherit? We thought we earned it. Subhanallah, we cannot earn Jannah with our deeds. The Prophet ﷺ was asked by the Sahaba, and he told them that no one can inherit Jannah, no one can be rewarded Jannah based on their actions alone, but it is from the mercy of Allah. So they said to him, ﷺ, "Not even you, Ya Rasulullah, ﷺ." He said, "Not even me, not even him." Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes some people inherit Jannah. Why? Why does He choose them? Because they made a sincere effort. And that is all He requires from us, is to make a sincere effort. May Allah forgive our shortcomings. Ameen. "And the companions of paradise will call out to the companions of the fire, 'We have already found what our Lord promised us to be true. Have you found what your Lord promised to be true?' They will say, 'Yes.' Then an announcer will announce among them, 'The curse of Allah shall be upon the wrongdoers who averted people from the way of Allah and sought to make it seem crooked while they were concerning the hereafter disbelievers. And between them will be a partition, a wall, and on its elevations are men who recognize all by their mark.'" So Allah tells us that between paradise and hell is a wall, and upon that wall are elevations, the heights, Al-A'raf. And a lot of people will be standing on that wall, on that elevation, men and women. They will stand in the middle and look upon the people of paradise and the people of hellfire, and will recognize all of them by their marks, meaning they will recognize the inhabitants of either place. And they, the people on Al-A'raf, call out to the companions of paradise, "Salamun alaykum, peace be upon you." They have not yet entered it, meaning Jannah, but they long intensely because they can see. And when their eyes are turned toward the companions of the fire, they say, "Our Lord, do not place us with the wrongdoing people." And the companions of the elevations, Al-A'raf, will call to the men within hell, whom they recognize by their mark, saying, "Of no avail to you was your gathering," meaning your great numbers, "and the fact that you were arrogant, nothing helped you." Allah will say, "Are these the ones whom you inhabitants of hell swore that Allah would never offer them mercy?" These inhabitants, Allah is referring to the inhabitants of Jannah. So Allah will ask a question of those in hellfire and say, about the people in Jannah, "Were you talking about these people in paradise, that Allah would never have mercy over them?" enter paradise, O people of the elevations. No fear will there be concerning you, nor will you grieve. Why are these people on the elevations? These are people whose bad deeds are equal to their good deeds, and their waiting will be enough as a punishment for them. The fact that they will not know where they will be going, whether to Jannah or to hellfire. That anxiety alone is something that will expiate their sin. And then Allah in His mercy will send them to paradise. And the companions of the fire will call to the companions of paradise, pour upon us some water, or from whatever Allah has provided you, give us something, they will say. Allah says, they, the companions of Jannah, will say, indeed, Allah has forbidden them both to the disbelievers who took their religion as distraction and amusement and whom the worldly life deluded. They did not take it seriously. So Allah says, so today, we, Allah, will forget them just as they forgot the meeting of this day of theirs and for having rejected our verses. So why are those people in hellfire? Because religion, their deen, was not important to them. It was just simply fun and amusement and the cause for debate. Subhanallah, lahwan wa la'iba, simple amusement or discussions for ratings. Subhanallah, or a way to gain power or money or fame. Allah says, and we had certainly brought them a book which we detailed by knowledge as guidance and mercy to a people who believe. Do they await except its result? Which result? The fulfillment of what is promised in the Quran. Allah says, are they waiting for that? The day its result comes, those who had ignored it before will say, the messengers of our Lord had come with the truth. So are there now any intercessors to intercede for us? Or could we send back to do other than what we used to do? Subhanallah. Allah says, they will have lost themselves, and lost from them is what they used to invent. They invented their own tenets of religion, based on their own opinions, not from the Quran, and not from the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what prevents us from changing? How long can I ignore it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, your Lord is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then established himself above the throne. He covers the night with the day, another night chasing it rapidly, and he created the sun, the moon, and the stars, subjected by his command. Unquestionably, his is the creation and the command. Blessed is Allah, Lord of the worlds. Call upon your Lord in humility and privately. Indeed, he does not like transgressors. There's a protocol to calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is closer to us than our jugular vein. The Prophet, peace be upon him, ordered us to look down when we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not look up at the sky, to not make a show of our du'as, to not speak loudly. The best du'a is one which is done in private and with humility, because Allah thinks that the other kind is transgression. وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا, and cause not corruption upon the earth after its reformation. When Islam has spread and Tawheed has been established, do not cause corruption. Allah says, and invoke him in fear and aspiration. Fear and aspiration. Be afraid of Allah, but at the same time also have hope in Allah. If a person does not have hope in Allah, then that is a manifestation of kufr. May Allah save us from that. Ameen. Allah says, indeed the mercy of Allah is near to the doers of good. Inna rahmatullahi qareebun minal muhsinin. Ihsan, those who strive in excellence, Allah says, Allah's mercy is for them, it is near to them. So what are the 4 tenets of dua? Number 1, humility. Number 2, privately. Number 3, with fear. Number 4, with aspiration. What are the other protocols of dua according to the Sunnah? The Prophet ﷺ taught us to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then send peace and blessings upon Rasulullah ﷺ, and then to ask for yourself and then to ask for others, and then end again with the praise of Allah and blessings and peace upon Rasulullah ﷺ. There are times when du'as are answered, the best of times. Du'as are answered after Fard Salah. Du'as are answered at the time of Tahajjud. Du'as are answered when it is raining. Du'as are answered in Sajda. Du'as are answered when a person is ill or feels pain. The du'a of the fasting person is never rejected. The du'a of the traveler is accepted. The du'a between Adhan and Iqamah in a masjid is accepted. There's a time of Jummah in which the du'a is accepted. And there is no curtain between the du'a of an oppressed person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Du'as are accepted when you hear the crowing of a cock because it has seen an angel. Du'as are accepted when one recites the Qur'an. Du'as are accepted in a gathering of zikr of Allah. That du'a that is accompanied by tears is accepted. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلَ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِي. And it is he who sends the winds as good news before his mercy, meaning rainfall, because Allah's mercy is rainfall, until, he says, when they have carried heavy rain clouds, we drive them to a dead land, and we send down rain therein, and bring forth thereby some of all the fruits. Thus we will bring forth the dead, perhaps you may be reminded. And the good land, its vegetation emerges by the permission of its Lord, but that which is bad, nothing emerges except sparsely with difficulty. Al-Bukhari recorded that Abu Musa said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The parable of the guidance and knowledge with which Allah has sent me is that of an abundant rain falling on a land, some of which was fertile soil, that absorbed rainwater and brought forth vegetation and grass in abundance. And another portion of it was hard and held the rainwater. And Allah benefited the people with it. They utilized it for drinking, making their animals drink from it, and for irrigation of the land for cultivation. And a portion of it was barren, which could neither hold the water nor bring forth vegetation. The first example of the person is of a person who comprehends Allah's religion and gets benefit which Allah sent me with by learning and teaching others. The last example is that of a person who does not care for it and does not accept the guidance Allah sent me with. So what of the middle one? The one who collects the water does not benefit from it, but others benefit from it." Meaning a person who brings the knowledge to other people but does not put it into practice himself or herself. Only those who are thirsty for knowledge avail the spiritual rain of ilm and knowledge, but those that are like the dry, hard, unyielding land, mountainous, they absorb nothing. The spiritual rain of Islam rained on Makkah, but they did not avail it, so it went to Medina. So some people bloom with the rain of spiritual blessings versus those who say, "We know enough. You cannot teach us more." Their attitude is different. The problem is not in deen, but inside the hearts of people. We had certainly sent Noah to his people and he said, "O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity other than him. Indeed, I fear for you the punishment of a tremendous day." Said the eminent among his people, Al-Mala'u, meaning the leader, the cream of society. Allah says, they said, "Indeed, we see you in clear error." Noah said, "O my people, there is not error in me, but I am a messenger from the Lord of the worlds. I convey to you the messages of my Lord and advise you, and I know from Allah what you do not know." Then do you wonder that there has come to you a reminder from your Lord through a man from among you, that he may warn you and that you may fear Allah so you might receive mercy? But they denied him. So we, Allah, saved him and those who were with him in the ship, and we drowned those who denied our signs. Indeed, they were a blind people. And to the Ad, we sent their brother Hud. He said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity other than him. Then will you not fear him? Said the eminent ones who disbelieved among his people, Indeed, we see you in foolishness, and indeed, we think you are the liars. Hud alayhi salam said, O my people, there is not foolishness in me, but I am a messenger from the Lord of the worlds. I convey to you the messages of my Lord, and I am to you a trustworthy adviser. Advice, Ad-Dinu An-Nasiha. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that deen is religion is sincere advice. So Hud alayhi salam said, Then do you wonder that there has come to you a reminder from your Lord through a man from among you that he may warn you, and remember when he made you successors after the people of Noah and increased you in stature extensively? So remember the favors of Allah that you might succeed. They said, Have you come to us that we should worship Allah alone and leave what our fathers have worshipped? Then bring us what you promise us, meaning the threat of azab, the punishment, if you should be of the truthful. Hud said, Already have defilement and anger fallen upon you from your Lord. Do you dispute with me concerning mere names you have named them? These so-called idols, they are simply names. You and your fathers, for which Allah has not sent down any authority? Then wait. Indeed, I am with you among those who wait. So we saved him and those with him by mercy from us, and we eliminated those who denied our signs, and they were not at all believers. And to the Thamud we sent their brother Saleh. He said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity other than him. There has come to you clear evidence from your Lord. This is the female camel of Allah sent to you as a sign. So leave her to eat within Allah's land, and do not touch her with harm, lest there seize you a painful punishment. So when they demanded a miracle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make a live camel walk out from the side of a rocky mountain. And that was a sign of Allah. And Saleh alayhi salam told them to stay away from the camel and to not touch it and do not harm it. Allah says, Saleh alayhi salam said, And remember when he made you successors after the Ad and settled you in the land, and you take for yourselves palaces from its plains and carve from the mountains homes, then remember the favors of Allah and do not commit abuse on the earth spreading corruption. They were arrogant and they would subjugate and oppress the weak. Said the eminent ones who were arrogant among his people to those who were oppressed, to those who believed among them, Do you actually know that Allah is sent from his Lord? They said, Indeed we, in that with which he was sent, are believers. Said those who were arrogant, Indeed we, in that which you have believed, are disbelievers. Subhanallah. So they hamstrung the camel and were insolent toward the command of their Lord and said, O Saleh, bring us what you promise us, if you should be of the messengers. So the earthquake seized them and they became within their homes corpses, fallen prone. And he, Saleh alayhi salam, turned away from them and said, O my people, I had certainly conveyed to you the message of my Lord and advised you, but you do not like advisers. Most people who have arrogance inside of them do not like advice. And we had sent Lot, Lut alayhi salam, when he said to his people, Do you commit such immorality as no one has preceded you with from among the worlds? Meaning to approach men. Allah says, Indeed, you approach men with desire instead of women. Rather, you are a transgressing people. Allah tells us in the Quran that homosexuality was not prevalent before this community, and Lut alayhi salam came to stop them. But the answer of his people was only that they said, Evict them from your city. Indeed, they are men who keep themselves pure. The criminals made fun of Lut alayhi salam and his followers and said they think that they are very pure and good and high above us. So we saved him and his family except for his wife. She was of those who remained with the evildoers. Why? Because she did not think that what they did was wrong. In fact, when angels came to visit Lut alayhi salam in the guise of handsome men, she raised a signal and alerted the rest of the community that there were foreign visitors at her husband's home. Allah says, "And we rained upon them a rain of stones, then see how was the end of the criminals." And to the people of Madian, we sent their brother Shu'aib. He said, "O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity other than Him. There has come to you clear evidence from your Lord. So fulfill the measure and wait, and do not deprive people of their due, and cause not corruption upon the earth after its reformation. That is better for you, if you should be believers." The people of Shu'aib alayhi salam used to cheat in business as well as practice idol worship. "And do not sit on every path, threatening and averting from the way of Allah those who believe in Him, seeking to make it seem crooked. And remember when you were few, and He increased you, and see how was the end of the corruptors," Allah tells us. "And if there should be a group among you who has believed in that with which I have been sent, and a group that has not believed, then be patient until Allah judges between us, and He is the best of judges." Before we continue the story of Saleh alayhi salam in the next juz, let's look at the common threads running between these stories of prophets mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala successively. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first mentions Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam was present at the time when idol worship first began. Between Adam alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam, it is said there were 10 generations. And between these two was an ancient prophet, Idris alayhi salam. Before Nuh alayhi salam, people were upon monotheism and tawheed. And so shaitan came in to introduce shirk for the first time. Since they had pious predecessors, pious people, righteous people who had passed away, Iblis inspired them to make images of those pious predecessors upon their walls so that they would not forget them. But after some time, the images started rubbing off. So he inspired them, he whispered to them to make statues of them so they would be more permanent. At that time, the people only worshipped Allah and made dua only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But after some generations, they forgot and they started worshipping those statues and making dua to those statues and using them as intercessors to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the beginning of the first idol worship, formal idol worship and polytheism. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed Nuh alayhi salam to teach people and rid them of shirk. But most people denied him, and only about 70 to 80 people were saved in the ark of Nuh alayhi salam. One of his sons also did not believe in him. From the children of Nuh alayhi salam came the Ad, and Hud alayhi salam was their brother. He was one of their community, and he was appointed as a messenger to his people. Who were the first ones to deny? Allah says the eminent ones were the first to deny, and they disbelieved in it, and they made fun of the message that Hud alayhi salam came with. Hud alayhi salam said he is a trustworthy advisor, and he is there to convey the messages of Allah. He pointed out that he was a man from amongst themselves, someone that they knew, they trusted. And he pointed out something very significant to them, that these so-called idols were only names. They in fact did not exist in reality. So after their hearts were sealed and Allah knew that they would not change, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed that nation and He saved the believers, just like at the time of Nuh alayhi salam. It is interesting to see that Saleh alayhi salam used almost exactly the same words that the previous prophets had used. And those to deny him were also the eminent ones. Al-Mala'u, the leaders of the community, who were arrogant and did not wish to give up their position, and they felt that every time Islam came, it threatened their position in society, because Islam called for equality among men, to treat people with respect, and to give people their due rights. It has been the history of messengers that the first to follow them have always been the weak and the oppressed. And that is a sign of a true messenger. The same thing happened with Shuaib alayhi salam in Madian. We see that people who are really well off and are the leaders of community are the hardest to convince. They are the first ones to deny the messages of Islam. And they are always the first ones to be destroyed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard our iman. Ameen. So we began Juz 8 with the mention of eating halal and eating that upon which Allah's name has been mentioned. And we learned that eating halal and tayyab has a direct influence on the kind of amal that we do, the actions that we perform. Allah tells us that whenever He wants good for someone, He opens up their chest to Islam and He walks in the light of guidance. Allah tells us that there are varying degrees of people and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives reward according to the deeds we perform. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala severely criticizes Hinduism, polytheism for their made-up religion and tenets and principles, and they would say this is from Allah. Everything from killing up their children to making up their own rules of sacrificing to the concept of intercession with those so-called idols. Allah says all of this is baseless. The contrast, one of the other contrasts in Surah Al-An'am is that of ilm, knowledge, and dhan, conjecture or guesswork. Allah says their religion is entirely based on falsehood and guesswork. Allah lists the things that He has prohibited for us. The first thing He says is not to associate anything with Him, and to parents good treatment, not to kill children out of poverty, and not to commit immoralities, whether they are apparent or whether they are hidden, not to kill any soul except by just legal right, not to approach an orphan's property, not to come near the property of an orphan, except to improve it and to give it back to him or her when she reaches maturity, to measure correctly, give full measure and weight in justice, to speak the truth, even if it is against a near relative. All of these are instructions from Allah, and all of these make up the straight path. Allah warns us not to get separated from the straight path. The concept of wali, wilaya, of guardianship comes up multiple times in Surah Al-An'am. Allah says you have a choice. You can either take up those so-called non-existent gods as your wali, or you can take me as a wali, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a wali. And the one thing comes really clear across Surah Al-An'am is that no one can hurt us, no one can harm us if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wish it to happen. And no one can benefit us at all until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes it to happen. The command is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must trust Him utterly and completely and be strong in our faith upon Him. Surah Al-A'raf begins with the mention of the scales, the weighing of the deeds, the balance. And we learned what is it that is going to be weighed and how are things going to be weighed. We studied in detail the story of Satan and Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, and we tried to understand the psychology of Iblis and the different ways that he will attack the children of Adam alayhi salam. Allah tells us that Satan wants to strip us of our clothing, of our zina, of our beauty. Clothing is beauty in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Satan wants to shame us. He hates us so much, with such intensity. His goal is to order us to commit vulgarity and to think nothing of it. Allah reminds us over and over again to not be arrogant toward the ayat of Allah, to fear Him so that we will receive His mercy. Allah tells us that He has forbidden immoralities to us, all kinds, whether the apparent ones or the hidden ones. Allah says that He does not charge a soul except that which is within its capacity. Islam is a religion that is easy, and we can follow it under any circumstances. Allah then tells us the good news of people who will reach Jannah. They will be happy and they will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and admit that they would not have reached that station if it was not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. Allah mentions the people on the heights, Al-Araf, the people who are caught in the middle because their good deeds equal their evil deeds. And they will see longingly the people in paradise, and they will see fearfully the people in hellfire, not knowing where they are going. Imagine to be in that position. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us an easy entrance into paradise. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah asks a question. Do they wait, accept its result? The day its result comes, those who had ignored it before will say, the messengers of our Lord had come with the truth. So are there now intercessors to intercede for us? Or could we be sent back to do other than what we used to do? Now can we find someone who can help us today? The day of judgment, the book tells us that there will be a day of judgment. But on earth, many people do not believe. But on that day, they will say, well, can we have some help now? Or can you just send us back, give us another chance? Allah says they will be lost completely on that day. Allah tells us how to ask Him with humility, privately, with fear, with aspiration. We learn the protocol of making dua. May Allah make us of those whose duas are always answered. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah has always sent prophets, one after the other, with the same basic message. And human psychology has also not changed. The proud, the arrogant, the well-to-do are the first ones to deny. And the first ones to follow are the weak and the oppressed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always saves and secures those who believe. And He destroys those who prove themselves to be arrogant. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those people whose hearts are soft, and we take heed from the remembrance, because Allah says in the Quran, remind, for the reminder benefits those who believe. May Allah make us of the believers. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for an easy access to Jannah. Ameen. And we seek refuge in Him from His anger and from the punishment of the hereafter and hellfire. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين آمين يا رب العالمين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين